Hi, and welcome to the Calvary Foursquare podcast. Our goal at Calvary is to reach our community with the truth and love of Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians 2:8, it says that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. So if you would like to find out more of who we are, you can go to our new website at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or search for us on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare. Thank you for listening and enjoy the podcast.
I thought we were going to go on a cruise for relaxation and excitement and fun, but it ended up being a vacation, an adventure to learn trust and surrender. Following Jesus is not something we just believe. It's something we practice. It's a daily decision that we make. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, he must take up his cross daily and follow me. Just because you come to church does not mean you are following Jesus. We're going to come face to face with ourselves today, and sometimes that's painful. The Bible talks in James, he talks about anyone who's a hearer of the word and not a doer. They are like a man who looks in the mirror, and when they walk away, they forget what manner of man they were. So we're going to look in the mirror, spots and all, zits and all, hair sticking up and all, and it's okay. He knows us best, he loves us most. The Bible says if we hear but we don't do, we deceive ourselves. There's nothing more horrible for me to think about than the day I stand before God and thought I was something that I wasn't, and I don't learn that until I stand before him. Our pride is our doorway into deception. That's why he said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Those that are desperate, they know I need you, God. Those surrendered to him, you're blessed. Because many times our breakdown is our breakthrough. But don't we resist the breakdown? I thought about the person that, I've shared this before, but I think it bears repeating, that there was two people on the side of the shore watching someone out in the ocean drowning. One was an excellent swimmer. The other one couldn't swim at all. When they saw him coming up and said, help, and go back under, and he went back up again, help, and he said, go get him. And the guy stood there and watched him go down. And come back up and go down until he went down and didn't come back up. Then the good swimmer ran out there and grabbed him and brought him back. And the other man said, that was so horrible. Why would you punish him like that? He said, it wasn't until he gave up the struggle that I could save him. That's what God is asking us to do. Surrender says, I quit. You know, we don't want to be self-made people. That we just pull ourselves up by the bootstraps and we're gonna do this. And God is saying, will you give it to me? Will you let me work in you that we might know him and the power of his resurrection? Oh, we like the power of his resurrection, but the fellowship of his suffering. We have to embrace the fellowship of his suffering when God is wanting to prune us. When God is wanting us to look at something because we've controlled with our anger, to give up control, to give up manipulation, and let the love of God permeate our life. See, following Jesus is an intersection in our daily life, practicing daily surrender. If it doesn't look like love, you're not following Jesus. And I'm not talking about a mushy, gushy, let people walk all over you kind of love. No, that isn't love. Many times that's enabling. Because Jesus was very forthright. And Jesus, the rich young ruler that came to Jesus, and he said, well, what must I do to inherit eternal life? I mean, this rich young ruler thought he had it in the bag. And Jesus told him, okay, you must do the first four commandments. And he said, oh, yeah, I've done all of that since I was a boy. And the Jesus knew, knowing his heart, knowing it, the thing that was keeping him from surrender, which was money, the love of money. Money is not evil. It's the love of money that is evil. God wants to bless us. He wants, but he doesn't want us to have money. He wants to have his love and be a conduit of blessings. So Jesus looked at him. He said, one thing you lack. Go give everything you have away. Is God always asking everyone to give everything? No, no, not unless you love money. But in this incident, Jesus, by the gifts of the Spirit, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, knew exactly what it was keeping this rich young ruler from inheriting the fruit of the Spirit and the love of God and the freedom. And so he called him out, and it said he became very sad because he had so much to lose, he thought. What he didn't know is what he had to gain. So he walked away, and Jesus let him. Jesus didn't chase him. He was sad. Jesus was sad, but he let him go because he wasn't ready yet for total surrender. There's people in your life that you're praying for, that you are longing for, and you sometimes have to let them walk away because they're not ready. But don't stop praying. We just talked about that in Kingdom Conversations, and I'm going to need a little plug for Kingdom Conversations right now. If you aren't coming to Kingdom Conversations, you need to. It's powerful community, ecclesia. What's happening in Kingdom Conversations through the leadership of James and Karen is amazing and is a community. Enough of that commercial. I didn't intend on doing that. But so it goes on to say, what does love look like? Surrender. That I get it, that in this life is bigger than just me. So I surrender my whole self to you, God. Not just my best self, but also my worst self. All my fears, all my burdens, all my gifts, all my possibilities, I surrender it to you. Jesus said, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. We're called to die. Like, oh yeah, well, how do we do that? Surrender. And it's a process. This is really what life looks like in the abundance of God. He came to give us life and give it more abundantly. How do we get that? We die. We die to our own ego. We die to our own ambitions. But we just die to it to get back so much more. If God has even put a dream in your heart, maybe it's a child, there's a dream in your heart, but God will take you through a process to die so that he can resurrect it with his power and his might, and then he will get the glory. It won't be your own doing. Because Paul said, I'm not sufficient of myself to think anything of myself. My sufficiency is of the Lord. But it took a death process for him to get to that point where he said, oh boy, if anybody could boast in the flesh, it'd be I. And he had a whole list of credentials, a Pharisee of the Pharisee, a Hebrew. He listed all the things that were his kudos that would make him have this glittering image. And he said, I counted all but dung. See, that's the death process. That's what God is putting his finger on, things in our life that he wants you to let go of control, to give it to him, to surrender. Many things God is trying to pry our hands open for our good, for our freedom. Anyway, I am way off. I have not gotten to my notes at all. It is hot off the press, y'all. Surrender isn't something that we do in a vacuum. It's something that's done daily. It isn't a one-time thing. We need to continually surrender and live in a submission to his authority. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. We are the potter. He is the potter. We are the clay. And he wants to mold us and make us into his image. His whole goal when you become a Christian is not just that you go to heaven. If that was true, we'd just go right then and there. But it's to conform us into the image of Jesus, to allow those grave clothes that have wrapped us around. We have life on the inside, but we come out of the grave still wrapped in grave clothes. I mean, things in our soul, wounds, attitudes, beliefs that are not of him that have to be unwrapped. And that's the walk of discipleship and sanctification. And that's where we surrender daily. We give up control. We give up our little anger, hissy fits. When we get our way, we give up our self-pity parties. We give up our griping and complaining. Whatever it is, we all got our stuff. You know, we all got it. Don't pretend like you don't. But we need to learn to hang on to Jesus while letting go of what holds us back. And a helpful tool in doing this is understanding that all that God has given you, he's given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. In Christ, you are complete in him. You know, I was even thinking about this. Even my husband and I, we don't complete each other. No. Two halves don't make a whole. Two halves make a fourth, actually. I mean, you get in unhealthy relationships where you're trying to get whole from somebody. That ends up just making both of you less. Two wholes make a whole. When you're whole and you know in God you are complete and he's given you dreams and you can differentiate with your spouse and they have their own dreams and their own opinion, but you come together as one. But you don't meld in, you have this unhealthy enmeshment. That's what you call codependent. God doesn't want us codependent. He wants us interdependent on him and each other as the body of Christ. The hand can't say to the foot, I don't need you. I'm sorry, even though you've been hurt and you don't want to trust people, you need the body of Christ. And it's okay. Well, every time I need something and somebody, I get hurt. Well, love anything and you'll be hurt. You can't even love a dog without getting hurt. I mean, you can live armored up and not have any intimacy in your life. Because you know what intimacy means? Into me you see the good, the bad, and the ugly. And it's risky to get that vulnerable. But it's so worth it. Well, y'all, I did not intend to go there. But you know what? God is wanting life for us. He wants us to be in communion. He wants to build a healthy culture here where we truly love each other from the heart and we speak truth to one another in love that we grow up. If you don't have somebody in your life that speaks into your blind spots because you don't know what you don't know, then you are lacking. We all need people, even though it hurts our pride. You know, sometimes Steve will tell me something and say, oh, I did not want to hear that. But you know, as I think about it, it's like, you know what? As I humble myself before God and receive grace, you know what grace is? God doing you what you can't do for yourself. See, more of God will come out of you as you humble yourself and give up your pride and your self-defense and your armor and be willing to be known. We get in a surrendered life that this life is more than just about me. Surrender all to God. He's the Alpha and Omega. He is all-seeing, all-knowing. He knows it all anyway. You might as well give it up and let his love come in and take over. Surrender, it's the power posture. Can I face things as they actually are in the light of the reality of Jesus Christ? Or do things as they really are destroy my trust in him and put me in a panic? The quote from Oswald Chambers. Surrender is to cease resistance to an opponent and submit to authority. That's the verb of surrender. As a noun, it's an action of surrender. And the truth is, the Bible says that this flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. You know, you have an opponent and it's right inside of you. We are our own worst enemy. So, and surrendering to the greater one on the inside of you, the flesh. Like Paul said, why do I do the things I don't want to do and don't do the things I do want to do? Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me? Paul was talking about this battle of surrender. But then he goes on to say, he was on in Romans 7, on his way to Romans 8, there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God doesn't shame you. God will never, ever, ever shame you. But we shame ourselves all the time. He wants you to love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. You have to be as kind to yourself as you would be to your very best friend. The flesh desires to do what's contrary to the spirit. They're in conflict with each other so that you cannot do whatever you want. But you're led by the Spirit. You're not under that pressing, demanding law, accusations of the devil. It says the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry. What's that? Just putting anything before God. Now that's all of us right there. Witchcraft, which is just manipulation. Just trying to get people what you want them to do. Control in the flesh. Hatred. Haven't we all hated people? Discord. Even discord with yourself. You know, you're not who you really are. You're pretending to be something you're not. That's discord. Jealousy. Haven't we all been jealous? Fits of rage. Oh, anybody have a temper tantrum? Envy. Drunkenness. And the like, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Does that mean that anybody who has any of this isn't going to heaven? No, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say you're not going to heaven. Because if you're born again, if you surrendered your heart and Jesus came in by his spirit and took out that stony heart and gave you a heart of flesh, you have the spirit of God on the inside of you who made you a new creation. That's something that never existed before. You became a new creature. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The you, the real you on the inside has been made new. You might still have all these great clothes. Nobody might even be able to see it, really, because you have to have your mind renewed. This is the pivot joint from living inside, outside, congruent. We have to have our minds renewed. We have to know what God says, and we have to see ourselves the way he sees us. So it's not saying that if you do these things, because we're all liars. We lie to ourselves. See, this list of things, if you do these things, you'll not inherit the kingdom. He's not saying you won't go to heaven. If you're saved, when you die, the real you on the inside is going to slip out of this body like a glove and be forever with Jesus in eternity. That's why he said, don't hide your light under a bushel. That means you can be alive on the inside, but it's covered with a bushel of soul wounds, rejection, unrenewed mind, bad attitudes, unbelief, whatever, because you've never been discipled. You never followed Jesus in the process of sanctification. Is this making sense?
Yeah.
Some of you, thank you, Doug. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. How do we have the fruit of the Spirit? You have to learn surrender. You have to abide. You have to take your place in Christ. When you start to feel hurried, stressful, burdened, hateful, whatever you're feeling, you can go to that place. Just take your place in him. and that's surrender. I am convinced a hurried life does not abide. And this is what God's dealing with me, and you all hold me accountable. I go way too fast. I gotta slow down and stay and pay attention to what's going on the inside. See, why are we triggered? Why are we triggered? Because we're out in this realm, in our soul realm. And we're not going where the peace, the Prince of Peace abides. Anyway, surrender's the ultimate posture of a disciple. James said, I'm just gonna share the scripture and then I'm gonna talk about my experience a little bit, but because I don't want to go too long. Dear brothers and sisters, consider it a sheer gift when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. Okay, now, boy, howdy, this happened on our vacation. Every time I turned around, there was something that God was saying, okay, how are you going to handle this? What's your attitude going to be here? Are you going to praise the Lord? You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. Well, thank God, because I don't want to appear on that day and realize I thought I was something I wasn't. Just let it all out right now. Even in my parenting, I'd heard, your children will walk in your hidden footsteps. It's like, oh my gosh. God, uncover them now, now. Because we don't know what we don't know. So I want to be honest with myself. I want God to put me through things that bring out what's really on the inside of me. Like a tea bag, you know. It's what, when it gets in hot water, what's inside comes out. The same with us. If you seem to have trial after trial and you're throwing fits after fits and mad about this because things you didn't get your way and stuff, God is trying to say, hey, hello, come to me. Come to me. Come, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn what? Learn surrender. Boy, it's a hard one. It's painful. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Oh, that would have been me. Boy, if I'd had my way this last, I would have been getting out of all kinds of things premature. Thank God he doesn't. Because he loves me, and whom he loves, he disciplines. Whom he loves, he prunes. Whom he loves, he takes us through hard times and hard things that make us look at what's really on the inside. Because I want to know. Because then I can have true fruit. I won't pretend. I'll be who I am, really congruent inside and out the same. Not trying to please people. Not trying to just, you know, be something that I think everyone will be accepting. No. To live truly, to love truly. This is what Jesus is calling us to. Is it hard? You bet it's hard. When you're not used to leaning into hard conversations, when you're not used to telling the truth and having the courage to tell your spouse the truth of how you really feel sometimes. That's why you have no intimacy. You have to be able to see into you, and you have to be willing to let them. Goes on to say, prematurely, let it do its work so you become mature. Well developed, not deficient in any way, because this is the will of God for you. This is what he did in Jesus. You are complete in him. Now you have to cooperate with that process to let what's on the inside be in your life, that you truly are patient and kind, and you don't take offense easy. And you're not rude and snarky and sarcastic. This is God's will for you. And he will do it in you. It's his power. It's him who does it in us. But we have to say it. Surrender. Say that. Surrender. It's even hard to say, isn't it? So, you know, they do this in recovery work at the 12th step. To enter into recovery work requires a prayer of surrender. And sometimes if you're with a sponsor or accountability partner who's leading you, they'll tell you that again and again, you have to keep going back to that. We go back to surrender daily. If any man will follow me, take up his cross daily. What's the cross about? It's about surrender. It's about, it's no longer I who live. It's no longer I who live. My life is not about me. But he, no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And surrendering my will, surrendering my attitude, surrendering my life so that the fruit of the Spirit can abound in my life and I will be the better for it as well as everybody in my sphere of influence. You know, you just have to believe. When I get in somebody's life, their life will be better for it. Not because I'm anything, because of Christ in me. You need to believe that too, about you. So, I'm just going to talk to you real quick a little bit about what happened. Okay, right from the get-go, there was thing after thing after thing. Like I said, I thought it was going to be a really relaxing, fun vacation, but it was trust and surrender. We had problems with our vaccination card. First, we had to surrender to the vaccination. If we wanted to go on the trip, I mean, we didn't have to go on the trip, but we wanted to go on the trip. So, and then, I made a list. Like Paul, you know, he listed, I've been beaten, I've been, you know, he listed all the things. I made a list of all the things that we went through. But Paul, you know what? This is like preschool compared to Paul. I mean, actually reading this compared to Paul just makes me like feel like, I mean, he was beaten, he was stoned, he was imprisoned, he was left for dead. That was Paul. So, let me see if I can find this real quick. Obstacles and praise reports, it says on our vacation. I mean, adventure. So we are stressing about the whole vaccination thing, you know, we get to Rome, and I, you know, that knee problem I had when I was racing Marilyn up the steps, or it's her idea, though, really, no. But all of a sudden, I stepped off a step because I put on my sunglasses inside, and I stepped off, and it jammed that knee, and I'm going, oh, my God, no, and we just are starting our vacation. It's like, and we're going to have to get the wheelchair, you know. It's like, no. So I brought the brace just in case, put the brace on and went a little slower, you know, hobbled around Rome because we had flown all night. So we got to Rome, and my sister and her husband were there. We got to Rome in the morning because they're like 7 hours ahead of us. So we missed a whole night of sleep there. But so we thought, you know what, let's go. We were going to go out. So we get in, we go out to Rome, we get in the subway, the doors open, and we're trying to get in. There's people just standing there, not moving. You know, the room is inside. And so we had to squish by them. Excuse me. and we get in the subway, and we go somewhere. Steve gets out, and he goes, oh, my gosh, my passports have been stolen. They pickpocketed our passports right out of his side pocket, which was a pocket that was buttoned. And he said it was hard to get them in there. But I'm telling you, they are professionals. So as we were squeezing through, paying so much attention that they're not letting us through, that we didn't realize he was reaching in and taking Steve's passports. My passport, too, because he was keeping it for safekeeping. So they thought it was a wallet, I'm sure. They look for American tourists. You know, they work in teams. But isn't that just like the devil? But it doesn't matter. Right away when Steve goes, oh, my gosh, and my sister and I look at each other and go, praise the Lord. I mean, we had each other to just keep praising the Lord. And the men, they weren't saying a whole lot. I think they were just figuring out, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? So the next day, we were going to take off in the ship the next day about 4 in the afternoon or so. So we were going to tour a little bit in Rome, but we ended up in the American Embassy getting emergency passports. And also, we had our vaccination card in that same little passport booklet, which you had to have to get on the ship. So, see, all these opportunities to, okay, how are we going to act? Okay, how am I going to act? Are we going to surrender? Are we going to believe that God is God and he is alive and he is real? Are we going to get all mad and have a fit and, oh, my gosh. Well, because of my sister and I, we were bouncing off. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We count it all joy. Satan, you're a liar. Praise the Lord. See, you have to sometimes just go overboard. Because David, he encouraged himself in the Lord. Yeah. Do you know you have to encourage yourself when you're going through trials? Yeah. And it helps to have somebody, you know, to help you, you know, spur you on to do the right thing, to have the right attitude, to praise the Lord in the midst of struggle. So we get our emergency, American Embassy, we were there all morning. We got it. We got on the ship. Whew! Phew! Praise the Lord. We had a wonderful time. You know, I realized when we got on the ship that I'd been so busy. You know, busyness and hurry is an enemy of not only your relationship with God, it's and of your relationship with those you love the most. Well, think about it. How do you treat people when you're in a hurry? Are you kind and patient? And no, we're in a hurry. We're thinking about our next destination. We want to get her done. And I'm a get her done kind of person. And I've been living on adrenaline for so long that I don't even realize when it kicks in that I don't need it. You know, the only reason you need adrenaline is if a bear is chasing you. Really, we need to be in charge of our adrenaline because it's not good for you. Besides that, it ruins relationships. If you're always in a hurry, you don't have the fruit of the Spirit prevailing, the Prince of Peace. We can slow down, enjoy the journey. Y'all enjoy the journey. So this is what I'm learning. So if you see me getting in a hurry and getting all stressed out, say, Cynthia, enjoy the journey. Will you do that for me? I mean, I need that because I know how quickly I can get right back in that mode. So where was I? We got on the ship. Oh, yes, Steve and I, once we got on the ship and we were face-to-face in this little room, all I realized, all these little things that pick, pick, pick were bothering me that I hadn't talked to him about and he hadn't talked to me about because we've been too busy and, our, you know, I was coming and he was going. And so it all just came out, thank God. It chose its true colors. And we just talked truly, honestly, and just repented and prayed and loved each other. And we had a honeymoon experience. God restored. See, and the devil would just like just let that build and build and build. And pretty soon you have these walls. You really don't have much. You don't have anything to talk about, you know, because you're resentful and bitter and you don't even know it. So we had a wonderful, the most beautiful country in the world, the Greek islands, the water so blue, and God was just doing a wonderful work. And not that there weren't things on the way, you know, like little things like my room key kept deactivating, so I'd have to go down and stand in line, you know, for like 3 times I had to go stand in a long line to activate my room. You know, stuff like that, that if I would choose to get all out of sorts with it, it would have stolen what God was doing on the inside. It's about surrender, surrender, surrender. Okay, then we come off the ship, had a wonderful time, and I'm positive COVID. It's like, see, the devil just wants to, actually, God allowed it, actually. Some of the things that we go through that we're blaming the devil, it's really just God trying to prune us. It's really just God saying, will you give this to me? Will you let me cut off that dead branch right there? Will you let me have that? Will you surrender? We blame the devil way too much. Okay, so I get off the ship and they say, okay, you're positive and you're not. You should go home, sir. And I'm like, okay, see, we have this hotel. They turned Sheridan's into a COVID hotel. And it said, and you have a room and they'll bring food to your door 3 times a day, pasta and bread and olive oil. I was in Rome. And we have a medical team there, you know, and so I thought, well, okay. I mean, oh, did I have a choice? What else would I do? I'm in Rome. I don't know what to do, where to go. I mean, I could have gone somewhere else, but I surrendered. And here some people came from the hotel, and these are guys, they were Greeks, you know, and they were speaking Italian, but it seemed like they were intense and mad. I don't know what they didn't want to take us to the hotel, and they had a van, and they had plastic over the front, and we were in the back because they didn't want to get COVID, you know, and so it was so hot back there because the air wasn't coming through because of the plastic. So I felt like a prisoner. Me and these 3 other people were just like, you know, we just felt like we were just captive. So we go to this place. They put us in a room. They were nice rooms, but the place was filthy. I mean, the laundry, you know, the halls and stuff, but the rooms were clean. At least it looked clean. So I'm in the room, and, you know, I thought, okay, God, okay. It's a forced sabbatical. I can. There's many times I want to get away by myself, and the pressure of what I need to do here, I just wouldn't do it. So, okay, God, I surrender. You know, I wasn't uncle. You know, uncle. Okay, I was in the room, and I could still talk to people. Some, you know, messenger, and then I went. I thought, oh, I was going to make a video for you guys, so I could say. So I needed to fix my hair, you know, because I didn't look. You know, you're in a room all by yourself. You don't put makeup on, do a lot, you know. So I got my blow dryer. You know, we had my adapter, and I plugged in my powerful hair dryer, by the way. And poof, the whole room blows up. Nothing is working now. You don't use your hair dryers in Rome in their little, they don't do that. I don't know. We're too powerful of hair dryers in America or something. So... Okay, so I had to, but all I was concerned about was my adapter, because it blew that out too, and that was my only lifeline back home, was my phone. And if I don't have a charger for my phone, oh my gosh, I couldn't imagine being in that room and couldn't talk to anybody anywhere. So I went down with the adapter, and they gave me a new one, and I went up, and I realized, oh, it's not the adapter, it's not just the adapter, it's the whole room. The air was out, the lights wouldn't come on, and so they said, well, you need to change rooms. So here, I have this big suitcase, everything that we took on the ship, you know, so I had to hurry up and get all my stuff together, because it was getting dark, and there's no lights in there, and it was really hot, because the air wasn't working anymore, and go to another room. That night, I went to bed, woke up, and I was itching, and I thought, what is this? There was bed bugs in the other room. I mean, it's like, oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I mean, I had to purpose. No, I refuse. And you know, I don't think I could have done that had I not. On the ship, when we were together, Steve and I purposed, okay, we are going to slow down. We are going to breathe deep, and we are going to live in the moment. You know, we don't do that very often. Wherever you are, be all there. We're always thinking about either our regrets or our guilt of yesterday or what I need to do. And we're missing the presence of God, because he is now. Now faith is. He's a great I am. Not I was, not I'm gonna be. Can I encourage you this week, try to wherever you are, and if you find yourself getting anxious, that's not living in the moment. Then just stop. Take some deep breaths. Let go of the anxiety and learn to live in the moment. So, I'm going to hurry up with this story because, okay, then the bed bugs, you know, and then I thought, you know what? I just need some sun. So I had heard from another person that I saw from across the hall that there's the back door. So I thought, okay. So I went down the steps in the back way, and I was scared to death. I mean, my heart was, but I felt like a criminal. It's like, oh, but you know what? I am just a rule breaker. Sorry, guys. I am a rule breaker. I mean, I submit to God. You know, I do. I don't think God cared if I went outside. I really don't. So I went down these back stairs. There's big rat traps in the corners and all these cigarette butts and stuff. And it's like, oh, my gosh. But I went outside. I took a sheet, and I laid down in the sun for a while. And I thought, oh, vitamin D. I heard vitamin D helps you get over COVID, too, you know. So on day 7, they were going to call us down, and we're going to take another test, you know. So this is, I don't know what day, but day, so I, you know, I went out a little bit. Now, don't tell anybody, guys. Shh. So, day 7, I go down. I took a test. I was negative. I was praising the Lord. And then I looked over and I saw a girl that I'd seen at the airport that also was in quarantine part. And we talked a little bit in the airport, but then we were off and shipped to different rooms. And I said, hey, how was your week? You know, and she was sitting there with her phone. She was just stressing. She said, oh, I can't get through. My phone isn't working. I don't have any data, and I need to make a flight home, because she was also negative. So I said, well, here, use my phone. And, you know, and she got on hold for 45 minutes, but we talked and we got to know each other. And I said, hey. And then they said, okay, you guys get to your room. I said, but we're negative. And they said, well, the other people don't know that. And I said, well, we'll tell them. They said, no, you got to go to your room. And so I said, hey, you want to go out in the back and go out and see? So I said, let's grab our lunch, because they put it by our door, and I'll show you. And she said, you go outside? I go, yeah. I'm such a bad influence. So we took our lunch, and we went outside and sat on the sheet and ate our pasta. The Lord opened a door at that moment to share the gospel with this girl who at three, her dad committed suicide when she was three. Her mom remarried a man. Her mom was a raging alcoholic who sexually abused her from third grade until she was 15. At 15, she was so full of rage, she had a knife in her hand going in her house to stab and kill both her mom and her stepdad, and a voice spoke to her and said, you're only going to hurt yourself if you do this. So she ran away. As a child, she would see in the spirit realm. She'd see angels, and her mom would say, quit playing with those imaginary friends. As a child at seven, she would have dreams. She dreamed that her grandma died. She told her mom her grandma died, her mom, and she slapped her and said, stop talking about your grandma like that. And when her grandma died a few days later, they blamed her. This girl has the gift of discerning of spirits. She doesn't know Jesus. Her life has been one trauma after another. She's 54 now. We have the same birthday. We found that out. But I laid out the gospel right then and there. And she said just 2 weeks ago, she'd sat on a curb and she cried, God, I don't want this gift. Take this away. Because she sees in the spirit. She sees when things are evil. She sees people that look so good and all of a sudden their face morphs to evil. She has the gift of God, but she hasn't known what to do with it. And she did go to one church, and they told her she's of the devil, and she just needs, you know. They didn't believe the gifts of the Spirit are for today. But God, in his goodness, would make her and me meet in Rome, out in a little blanket in the sunshine when we're not supposed to be out there. See? God doesn't care. And I thought, well, Paul, he said, you know, I feel bound in my spirit to go to Jerusalem, knowing that awaits me there is imprisonments, bedbugs, beatings, pasta and bread all the time. But he said, none of these things move me. Neither do I count my life dear to myself, that I might finish my course and show the glorious grace of God to the Gentiles. And right then and there, I said, none of these things. It was glorious. I was like, God, and the thing is, she had had a test on the ship. She was on the ship with her daughter. She had had two tests she took right before they went out, and they were both negative, but in the airport, she was positive. She happened to be sitting right by me. When we went go in, we talked a little bit. Then when we came out, there she is again. God is large and in charge, y'all. But if we don't learn little lessons of surrender along the way, we will not finish our course. We won't have those divine appointments because we'll still be going around the wilderness, griping and complaining, wanting the leeks that were back in Egypt. You understand what I'm talking about, that? If y'all know the Bible, but the children of Israel in the wilderness. It was a 4-day trip, took 40 years. So my point is, God loves you. He has your life. It says before the foundation of the world, there is a path that he had for you to walk in. Now you have to be obedient to surrender to his love, to believe he has your best interest at heart. Do you believe that? I believe that. I believe that every one of you are here not by your own desire, but he has a plan. And you are an ambassador for Christ. I want to read one more thing. That's where Paul said, none of these things move me. Is there an area in your life that is challenging and stretching you right now? Okay, God is wanting us to do some internal look. Let's look in the mirror right here. Is God asking you to hold on to a season despite any discomfort and surrender? I want to pray this. Let's all of us pray this prayer together and surrender. See, that's when we lift our hands. What we're saying is, I quit. I quit trying to be something myself. I quit. I give up. Because our breakdown is our breakthrough. See, you think all those charismatic, they lift their hand when that. Well, no, we're just doing it. It's a posture prayer. It's a prayer of God. I belong to you. I'm not my own. My life is not my own. You have a greater purpose for me. If you are not a purpose-driven person, you will be a pleasure-driven person. And that's where addiction comes in. We have a purpose, y'all. Let's pray this together. Let's read it along with me. I choose to hold my hands up as a symbol of surrender. My life is not about me. I surrender to your lordship. I surrender my preferences, prejudice, and position to you. I surrender my fears, finances, friends, and family to you. Now pray this every day, y'all, daily. God is doing a mighty work in us, you all. We are ambassadors in this community, but we have to surrender the little things. If you're not faithful over little, we'll not be faithful over much. Father, I thank you today for your working. Thank you for your love. I trust your love. Abba, Abba, you've shown me over and over again. God, it's not about my comfort. It's not about what I want. I, nevertheless, not my will. God, your will be done. Thank you for all these people and the stirring and the working you're doing in their hearts. Have your way in these, your disciples. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you'd like prayer before you go today, there'll be some people up here to pray. But God bless you. Thank you for your prayers. I could feel it. God moved yours. Mwah! I love you all. Absence make my heart grow fonder. I love you. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to hear more of our messages, or find more information on who we are, you can find us at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare Church. Thank you again for listening and have a good day.